Thanks, Don, for leading our song service tonight. I'd like to welcome the visitors that we have. We have a number of visitors with us. We're awful glad that you decided to come our way. We'd like to welcome you back if you get a chance. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Psalms 139, the Old Testament, about almost smack dab in the middle of the Bible. Psalms 139, that's where we're going to take our lesson this evening. We'll make a couple of references, but this is where we'll be. You don't have to put your finger in it and turn to any place else. We're going to stay here tonight. These are not... This is not a wholly inspired summation here. In fact, it's not even in, or to my knowledge, it's not in my Bible, not even in the little headings. This is my own summary of the breakdown. These first six verses is basically how I would define it is, that God is all-knowing. And if you keep that in mind as we get into this, I think you'll see, hopefully you will see it the way I do. Verses 7 through 12 is that God is all-present, that He's always present. Verses 13 through 16 is that God is all loving and all caring toward us. Verse 17 and 18 is kind of a proclamation. It is a proclamation by David of to God of David's love toward God. And the last grouping, verses 19 through 24, is David's desire to stand with God and oppose the enemies of God. And if for some reason you see it or get something out of it differently than what I did, it's totally possible. That's what jumped out at me as I was studying these passages. Starting with verse 1 of Psalms 139, it says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. I want to pause here for just a second. I'm sure you've had people in your life, a loved one, a best friend, a spouse, a mom, a dad, a child, somebody that you knew them without them saying a word. You knew what they were thinking. You knew by a look on their face, an expression, a sigh, a smile. You knew exactly what they were going through, good or bad. And I'm sure that there is somebody in your life that knows that very same thing about you. There's been people in my life that I've been in their presence that somebody will say something and I just kind of smile, knowing what they're thinking, knowing the emotion they are feeling at a given moment from a remark, from a look on their face, or vice versa, they toward me. This, in verse 2, it says, you understand my thought afar off. not even in the presence. That's God. God knows us. He created us. He formed us. He knows us. He knows our thoughts. He knows our emotions, our feelings, good and bad. Verse 4. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me from behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. I picture that this language, if you remember David as a young man, when we first got to know David, he was a lad. His older brothers were off in the Israelite army opposing the Philistines, and he was left behind at home. Just because he was left behind at home didn't mean that he wasn't doing his responsibility. I get an awful lot of comfort and encouragement from situations like David or other people in the Bible, people that did what they could. David, when we first get to know him, he was a shepherd. He was being obedient, doing what he could. His brothers were all fighting. I'm sure he probably was envious of them when they went off. I'm big enough, I can do it too. But he wasn't at that time. He stayed behind and he was caring for the flock. And I picture this verse almost being spoken wise by a shepherd, a former shepherd. You've hedged me behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. You have guided me. He's probably, no doubt, has had to kind of guide and kind of try to corral those sheep along at times. This is words of somebody that understands this concept. God, you have guided me. You have directed my path. Verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. We get in now into this another grouping where I see it as God is always present, not only all-knowing, but always there. Verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, he would find him. I think of Jonah. In Jonah, the second chapter, Jonah is remarking about how even though he is in the depths of the sea, in the belly of the great fish, underwater, deep down in the deepest part of the water, with seaweed wrapped around his head, hidden, God knew he was there. He wasn't, but that far from God. And he says, if I take wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, God knows he's there. Even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Isn't it amazing? I started to say as a child, even sometimes as an adult, the difference a nightlight makes. I wouldn't think of myself as scared of the dark. I don't think of myself like that. But you know what? Having just a tad bit of light to see the unknown, to see what's in those corners, makes all the difference in the world. Surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. I grew up here in Las Vegas, but I was actually born in Oklahoma. And as a small child, we made the trek to Disneyland. I saw on YouTube the other day the very show that was broadcast on Sunday night on the Walt Disney Show, where they toured. It was like a video tour of Disneyland. And we saw it. And I thought I was going to die when my parents told us, "We're going to go to Disneyland." I couldn't believe my good fortune. We stopped one overnight in Las Vegas. And I one vivid memory of that trip was at nighttime looking out on Fremont Street. It was like it was the middle of the day with all the lights. You didn't know it was dark. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. There's nothing hidden from God. For you formed, and this next passage, we see that not only God is all-knowing, and all present, but he's all caring. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. We're not going to get off on politics and social debate right now. But I find it interesting, there's a lot of people that will argue life starts upon birth. He's using the word me. He's me in the womb. David was me. He was somebody in the womb of his mother, and was God saw him as a me. Amen. In his mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. God knew David before he was. Before he was born, he was known by God and had been formed. I find it so I don't know, a little frustrating in society's eyes how some people will find nothing wrong with abortion when you read scriptures like this. That God knew us. And we were an us before we were even born. When a lot of people say, that's when life starts. According to this, life starts before we were formed. Before we took substance. Verse 17 and 18, we see a proclamation of David to God of his love toward God. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Verses 19 through 24, the last bit, we see David's desire to stand with God and oppose the enemies of God. Recently, probably a couple months ago, we had a lesson Sunday morning taken from 2 Timothy about flee, follow, and fight. There are times when Christians are allowed to fight. If we fuss and fight, like we talked about this morning, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, the Pharisee was making all the judgments based on his own standards. His standards, not on God's standards. If we fight over our likes and dislikes, God does not see that and is not pleased with that at all. In fact, it's one of the things that God finds as an abomination, an utter abomination to God, people that sow discord among the brethren, people that oppose his word. But here we see David making a proclamation, I will stand with you, O God, against your enemies. There is nothing wrong of drawing that line in the sand and making that a rallying point. Never, ever is it justified us to fight over personal likes and dislikes. But standing for God's word, standing for doctrine against false teachers, standing for the right, standing for justice, we never have to apologize for that. Personality conflicts? Absolutely. We better be fearful of the Lord for that one. But standing for doctrine, standing for truth, for the word of God, like David is declaring here, any day. Verse 19, oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men. David wants justice. Isn't that a call generally of mankind? Justice, people to be held accountable. And he's saying, oh, you know, God, if you would just slay the wicked. And he's saying, depart from me, you bloodthirsty men. I don't want to be numbered with you. He goes on to say in verse 20, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. That's not something David is going to sit by and idly watch or take. you're not going to take my Lord's name in vain. God, don't let them get away with it. Verse 21, do I not hate them? O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred, not personality, but doctrine, truth, justice. Everything that God stands for, David is wanting to stand for. Verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. Isn't that one of the greatest comforts, is to realize that God knows our anxieties, and we have them. They may be personal, they may be physical, they may be financial in nature, they may be health related, they may be a conflict within a family. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. He ends up with a request to God, guide me in your ways. You lead me, not me. Not me find my way, you lead me. As a former shepherd boy who would lead, protect, guide, and give security to the sheep. Don't you know sheep have a lot of anxiety? You know, they're not fierce fighters. They're not fast runners. They can't climb trees to get away. They are dependent animals upon the shepherd. The shepherd boy, the former shepherd boy, David, understands that concept. And he ends this psalm to God, and see if there is any wicked in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You be my guide, God. I can't do it. As I studied this, I was thinking just how much application it is for me today in my life to understand that God is all-knowing, to understand that God is always present. I may feel at times a million miles from God, but God is a prayer away at any moment, that God is all-caring. He created us. Of course He cares about us. You know, it's easy sometimes for us to get on a pity party, to want to just curl up and woe is me. But God is all-caring. He created us, He knows us, and He loves us. And as David made the proclamation to God about his love toward God, you know God would love to hear that from us in prayer. The appreciation, the acknowledgement to God of our love toward Him. Not only in prayer, but in deed also. And as it ended up, David's desire to stand with God against the enemies of God. We can do that through teaching true doctrine. We can do that always standing against falsehood. We can do that against compromise. We can do that through fighting against sin, not condoning sin. And we can do the same thing that David has. There's the lesson. It was 24 verses from David. I got a lot out of it. Hopefully you will too. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you have not been baptized, there's no better time. If you have sin in your life, there is no better time to repent. If you've committed private sin, privately go to God in prayer. Repent. Make that pledge to God of getting back on the right path. If your sin is of public nature, it requires public repentance. It may have affected more than just you. There's no better time. If you would like to identify with this congregation, to work with us, to worship God with us, we would love to have you. If you're a member of the church, you're a member of, you know, you're not a member of South Valley congregation, you're a member of the Lord's church. The Lord added you when you were baptized. But we would love to worship and work with you here. If you need prayers of the congregation, we've got a number of people that would be more than willing to pray with you. And we know that the prayer of a righteous man avails much. Whatever your need, if we can be of assistance to you, let's stand and sing as Don leads us in the invitation song.